Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Genrich?
Here.
Trustee Rafter?
Here.
Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gass?
Here.
Trustee Dennis?
Here.
We have a quorum. I'd like to make one modification to the agenda and move item 6 to 3B. Are there any other suggested modifications to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Harris? Is there a second? Trustee Dennis? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any announcements this evening?
The first one is that there will be no spring primary in Alloway on February 17th. Our next election will be April 7th.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
I received an email from Greenview Metropolitan Sewer District inviting the village board for a tour, and if we can set this thing up as a one tour time period, if you're willing to do it late afternoon and or in towards the morning, whatever would work best, I can arrange it with them and we can do this tour of the Met. So if you would like, if you have an interest in doing so, please let me know, and then we can go about if we have to notice it as a potential quorum, and set up a time with that.
With the amount of money and the controversy surrounding that, I think I'm very interested. I've been out there quite a few times with Craig, mainly for budget in their conference room, but I've never gotten a tour. I'd be interested. Anybody else who'd be interested? Okay, we can't promise that all of us will be there, but yeah, if you could just try to. Any preferences on the board, whether it's sort of early morning or the lunch hour or late in the workday or none of the above?
Late in the day, I'd prefer.
Late?
If I get a preference, yes.
Late in the day?
I'd prefer that too.
Okay, so as late as possible.
Great, thank you. I have a couple other items that came through at the last moment. Through the Green Bay Neighborhood Works Green Bay, they're looking for other potential homes to have a group of students work on coming up this summer. So it's obviously they're targeting those that may be in need. So if that's something we can get out, the word out. Unfortunately, I just found out about this. The deadline is the 15th. The application is very simple. The work is going to be done between July 12th and July 18th. But they're looking at like porch repair, step repair, interior, exterior painting, some winterization, landscaping, those sort of projects. So I think maybe it's something we can get on our website and try to promote as much as we can. But if you know of anyone, please tell them to either contact the Village Hall or check the website.
What are the criteria for being eligible to have work done?
It really doesn't say. The application is pretty simple.
Is it feasible for us to approach particular homeowners in particular areas and ask them to if they'd like to apply?
It talks about elderly, disabled, or low income.
Okay.
So that is our criteria. And we can certainly put that out there so that get people in the right direction.
Okay. So I think we all probably know some families who are in one of those situations who could use some help. So.
I think that's it.
Any other announcements? Hearing none, we will move on to the old item 6, action regarding the Class B fermented malt beverage and liquor license for pronounce it for me? That. At 1315 Marine Street, Nick's Thai Cuisine. Is there any, before we entertain any motion, any issues with the application for the liquor license, Ms. Payne?
She has turned in all the paperwork, except she will be going tomorrow to pay for her Brown County Health license to get the liquor license. So once she brings that in, I can issue the license to her.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve the license contingent upon the information from the county ones.
And it will be good through June 30th of 2015.
Okay, through June 30th of this year. Is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. Discussion, and then I'll open it up for any comments from our petitioner. Comments, and we'll suspend the rules and hear from our petitioner. I guess we're not suspending the rules. Would you like to step forward, please, ma'am? If you just want to step forward to the podium and give your name, since I wasn't able to.
My name is Manasma Chantasina.
And can you tell us a little bit about your restaurant?
We serve ethnic Thai food, we serve a lot of spicy, kind of, not all spicy, but very, I guess, a lot of
pad Thai.
Yeah, pad Thai, fried rice, but just very herbal. We use a lot of herbs and things like that. And it does somewhat need a lot of some kind of alcohol people like to drink when they're for dinner. So.
And the reason I'm asking you this stuff for isn't to question you. This isn't an inquisition or anything. Yeah. We want the community to know what you do and to help you spread the word. It sounds like for many years there was one Thai place in the Greater Green Bay area, and it was down on Broadway, and it's still there. So I really welcome the addition of another option. So
I'm very excited.
And had you been operating on Broadway as well?
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I really like it here a lot. So.
Do you have some good curries?
Yes, I do, actually. Very good. I have to stop.
And now you just need a beer to wash. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Could you let us know your hours? So that
yes,
we can
ours is we open from 11 until 3, and then we close from 3 until 5 and open for dinner from 5 until 8. And then weekends is 9, so.
So if we finish early enough tonight, we might even be able to make it over there.
Yes,
but you can't have a cocktail.
There's no one.
Can have a cocktail.
So when will you be opening formally?
We've been open for about 4 weeks already.
Oh.
Just without the alcohol, which was fine. But we did have a few people that was disappointed this past week. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have.
You're in Wisconsin. You have to remember that, right?
Yes, that's true.
So this is where the Ogon restaurant was,
yes.
Right? And you're taking up the entire building with the bar, if I remember correctly, is kind of on one side, and the restaurant's on the other.
Yes.
Side.
Yes.
And so you're occupying that whole space.
Yes. We actually do. A lot of people come and reserve the area for ceremonies and things like that.
Okay.
And
do you do any sort of catering as well, or is it mainly just in the restaurant?
Catering as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. It sounds absolutely fabulous. Any other questions or comments?
Is this an extension of the business on Broadway, or is this?
No, it's just a separate.
Separate.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a whole
I wasn't
separate.
Clear on that.
Yeah, it was New Kills, but it's just Nook now, so it's a whole different, individual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How many folks can you sit?
I think, it has a limit on there. It's like 480, but in the restaurant itself, we have 15 tables in the dining, and then we have a few extra in the sunroom, I believe.
It's a big place. Yeah, with the porch and then the bar area. Do you serve food at all in the bar area, or do you?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
We serve food in the bar area.
Okay.
So we serve everything.
So it doesn't have to be a formal sit-down thing? You could go to the bar and order something?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, nice. Very nice. I think the Alloway Business Association was meeting there when it was Ogun quite a bit. I think they meet at the Village Grill now. That might be another option too.
Yes,
to consider.
That would be really great. I would love for everybody to try it. I think it would be a good thing. So.
Well, we haven't voted yet, but I'm kind of confident in this. So,
making me nervous, Danny. I'm sorry.
I should have.
I'm a very behind the door. I'm the cook in the kitchen, so I even have the door closed. No one can see me.
I should have realized that when you were back there saying me. this isn't anything to do with your. We just want to make sure that the public really knows everything that you have to offer. If there's anything that we can do to help you make the business successful, just please let us know. And
yes, we are actually planning on a cleansing kind of a. It's a Thai New Year in April, but I'll keep everyone posted. I don't know if you guys do the ribbon cutting or anything like that, but I'm planning on doing something. It should be April, I believe April. I have planning with the Asian committee that come up to speak to me regarding to that, so
okay.
I'll make sure I keep everyone posted on that.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
She All did right. bring in egg rolls and some rice for us to try, and it was delicious.
Oh, hey. Wait a minute. Wait.
Okay.
Time out.
It wasn't enough for everybody.
Do we need a recess here? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Item 4, public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening? You may speak on any item you wish. We only can take action on items listed under the business section of the agenda. Yes, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I have a concern about historic preservation and the Riverside Drive project. I don't think that the Historic Preservation Committee has adequately provided oversight to the contractors who did the survey of Heritage Hill and Old Alloway. And I've been talking to the committee regularly for 2 years on this now. And they've now adopted a policy of canceling their meetings and having odd postings to their minutes. They don't post their minutes on a regular basis, and they just canceled this month's meeting. So we have a lot of important things going on along Riverside Drive and Heritage Hill and Old Alloway, particularly the Murphy Coles Estate, needs to be adequately protected. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Any other public appearances? Hearing none, we will move on to item 5. Action regarding the adoption of Ordinance 2015-01, creating Section 125.003 relating to fermented malt beverages or intoxicating liquor on public property and commercial quadricycles. This is from our last meeting. Before I entertain a motion, Brad, were you in charge of collecting this information, or did Debbie collect most of it? I'd like to hear from Debbie as to what she found. I made a few notes on mine. It should be in your packet. There was a nice outline of the questions that we had for Attorney Duffy and his responses to them, but I'm wondering if there's anything else that we need to know, Ms. Bainan.
I forwarded all the emails that I did receive from clerks in surrounding areas, and most of them allow the quadricycles but not drinking on them. The only one that I did receive anything on that does allow drinking is in Milwaukee. And I also forwarded that to you.
Okay. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Rafter?
I would move to adopt the ordinance while striking number 3 in paragraph B.
That's it? Okay. Is there a second? I will second for the sake of discussion, since I had a question of whether that's needed as well. I'm wondering, Trustee Raptor, did you have anything to say before I ask my questions?
In reading all of the articles about quadricycles and the state statutes protect against abusive use of alcohol on quadricycles, and we have laws in place to protect public intoxication. And I just started thinking about a lady who had come to one of our meetings several months ago, Carol Andrews, and she encouraged the board not to pass ordinances for ordinance sake or because we can. We haven't run into any problems. No one even wants to run a quadricycle in our village. And some of the articles I read actually spoke of the economic benefits of quadricycles and types of business they bring into a locality. So, not that they're great. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're terrible, but I don't think we should prohibit them until we know we have an issue.
Okay. I have a couple of initial questions or comments, Trustee Raptor. I'm wondering whether C3 is necessary as well. I think Attorney Duffy's comment was that he didn't see...
He didn't think that was appropriate.
He didn't think we really had any areas where we would be having sidewalk cafes either. And so for the same reasoning as your desire to strike B3, I'm wondering whether we need C3. If there's not a problem and we don't see that there's going to be any issue, why have it on the books?
If a sidewalk cafe is like a beer garden, if it's the same thing as that?
There's a separate process for having a beer garden, right? You have to fill out a special site application to have the beer garden, right?
If they had a separate area that they wanted to add to their liquor license, they could. The sidewalk cafe is kind of like downtown where they serve people on the public sidewalk. We don't have any facilities that are that close to the street that we would...
Like Kavarna. Kavarna strikes me as a place. They've got tables out on the sidewalk, and if they were serving alcohol, the person would have to come out of the door and onto the public sidewalk to serve the alcohol. I don't know where we would do that. I can't...
The only one I can think of is somewhere like the Lorelei, and I don't think people would want to be
public sidewalk. I'm not going to be... I'm not going to be drinking orange juice on that sidewalk, let alone...
Yeah, I guess maybe if...
on a public sidewalk.
On a public sidewalk. Depending on what happens on Riverside Drive in the future, but I would agree right now we probably don't have an issue with that.
I had a question maybe for you, Ms. Bannon, and I'm not sure if you have the answer to this. Did Attorney Duffy submitted these responses in writing? Right?
This is an email from him, yes.
Oh, that's the actual email from him. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we know why, under licensing protocol or permit process with the ability to revoke it if needed, maybe Trustee Gast suggested maybe we could have a permitting process to allow quadricycles to serve alcohol, and then if it is a problem, we revoke the permit. But he said, I've seen extensive regulation of quadricycle by ordinance from other communities, but would not recommend this. I have no idea why he doesn't recommend it.
Some of them that were not allowing it had extensive ordinances. Even whether they could or couldn't, they had extensive ordinances on which locations, which streets they can go down.
Okay, so he was just saying don't get into the business of having extensive ordinances either way, for or against it? Or was he saying...
I think that was...
Okay.
What he was.
Okay. So he was just arguing against over-regulating things and getting too complicated. Okay. I can definitely buy that. I think that's kind of consistent with what Trustee Raptor was saying as well. Trustee Harris, please.
If we did strike C3, but also B3, in particular on B3, what we'd still have to do is any business that wanted to operate this would still have to come to us for a specific liquor license or an alteration to their liquor license, correct? So we'd be able to address any business model that came up as something that may be workable for the village or not workable for the village.
Well, Spagan, would that be considered the same?
They don't get a liquor license.
Right.
Except they don't sell it.
Yeah, right.
You bring your own.
Okay.
So Wisconsin statute tells the amount that they can only bring out fermented malt beverages, not alcohol, and just a certain amount.
Okay, I misunderstood that then. Thank you.
Well, echoing Trustee Rafter's concern, do we need this at all? Could we just...
Per attorney, we do still...
We don't have anything with... We have something with regard to public intoxication, but not open carry in the liquor sense, not in the gun sense. So I think we do need the rest of the ordinance, or the ordinance, except for, in my opinion, B3 and C3.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to be draconian about this, and if someone is at their house and they're going to go next door to their neighbors and they take the sidewalk to walk with their beer to their neighbors, I don't want us to be handcuffing them. On the other hand, I don't want people walking down the street from Resurrection to Langley with an open beer. That's not the kind of message I want to be conveying to the community. So I do think we need the rest of this. Anything from this end of the podium? Trustee Gann.
No, I'm in favor of the ordinance with striking B3 and C3. You know, for the reasons Jim said. I mean, we don't have a problem with quadricycles, and if somebody wants to have them, I think they could be somewhat beneficial, from an economic, standpoint, and just from an entertainment standpoint. I don't foresee any major problems with this. And if there is, we can take a look at amending the ordinance later. I agree, too, that we need, the public highway and public-owned, land. Because, otherwise people could just walk around with a six-pack if they wanted to, and I don't think that's the message we want to send either. I agree with our village president that we don't enforce it in a draconian way. If you walk across the street to your neighbor's house to watch a football game and you're carrying your beer across the street, I don't envision that to be something we strictly enforce the ordinance, but there might be times where you need it, and because it is becoming a problem, and so I think we need the rest of that ordinance in there. But I'm in favor of striking B3 and C3 because I don't think they're necessary.
Anything further? We have a motion, and I don't think we have... I'd like to amend the motion to include C3. I don't think I did that. So I'll make an amendment to the motion to strike C3 as well as B3. Is there a second? Trustee Gaff?
I'll second.
Discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The amendment carries. Further discussion on the main motion to strike B3. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, action regarding the final acceptance of the Heritage Hill Stormwater Treatment System project. Before I entertain a motion, Craig, I do appreciate your email to, I remember who it was to, saying, my village president is going to ask me what the Davis-Bacon Act is. And I wrote down here on my agenda, what's the Davis-Bacon Act? And I hadn't read through your entire email. So I appreciate that. I'll make a motion to accept the final version of the Heritage Hill Stormwater Treatment System project. Is there a second?
1 second.
Trustee Genrich, seconds. Discussion? Craig, do you just want to chime in for the sake of the folks who are visiting?
When we complete
complete a project that's funded by the Department of Natural Resources, the last step in the project is for the governing body to accept the project as complete and certify that it has been completed and the wage rate, Davis-Bacon wage rate, has been complied with. The information that's included in the board packet is the certification from the consulting engineer, design engineer, that the project was constructed according to the plans and specifications, so that is already in there. And then there's the certification in there of all the Davis-Bacon wage rates, which is certified by the inspector from the consulting engineer. There's a person that's dedicated just to checking to make sure that all that's correct. And it's also signed by me with every pay request. So that's the certifications that all the regulations have been complied with. But it does go to the governing body for signature by the highest elected official that the governing body is accepting the project as complete. So that's what this is. This is the last step in completing the project. I would note that on the project itself, you didn't see the prairie in bloom this year because we were delayed a year in seeding the prairie because we had invasive plant species within that area of the facility. So this past summer, we did eradicate the invasive species, and the prairie is planted now. So next spring, it will be blooming and be colorful, and when you drive over Highway 172, you're going to see this big area of prairie. And over the next 3 years, it will become fully established. So now we'll see the colorful part of it because of the fact that now the prairie will grow. The other thing I would note is that early on in the discussion, we talked about delaying the project for some time period so that the rate increase impact would be moved back a bit. This happened naturally because of the delay in permitting. For the permit to actually go through, it took another 4 or 5 months to get all the permits back from EPA and DNR. So it moved our construction season back till the next season, which moved the rate impact back a year. So just two things I wanted to mention on the project. But we are complete. It's a very nice project. Next year it should be very attractive.
I don't want to grandstand for too long, but folks have to realize that there are, you know, in the roughly $7 million budget that we have, there are some huge projects that we're undertaking in this village, many of them through our Public Works Department led by Mr. Byrne. And these are things that sometimes you don't see, like the infrastructure, the water lines, the sewer lines beneath the street, that are very expensive to dig up and replace, but simply have to be done. And others that are a little bit more obvious as to work is being done, but people often question what it is. And these ponds are a perfect example. I mean, these are multi-million-dollar holes in the ground. The engineering is a little bit more technical than that, but it's part of our stormwater runoff system where the DNR simply won't let us allow rainwater to go down our driveways into the sewer and straight into the East and Fox Rivers. And so they have to make a brief stop in one of these large detention ponds, and the impurities and the sediments sink to the bottom, and then the clean water flows on the top into the rivers. And there are mandates that we get from the DNR that we have to reduce the amount of phosphates and sediments that we send into the rivers, and we, as a village, have a number of ways of doing that. And one is natural prairie lands that will absorb the stormwater runoff before it even gets to the river. But we don't get credit for things like that. The DNR gives us credit for street sweeping, a lot of credit for street sweeping, the frequency with which we clean the streets, which is why you see brand new street sweepers a lot, high tech that actually spray some water onto the pavement and clean it up. It's why you see the street sweeping going on quite frequently, and it's why you see these big detention ponds being placed all around the village. Craig, what are we up to in terms of ponds? Is it five?
Yes.
Five ponds, and we have one more area on the northwest side that we have to the Fox River side that we still have to kind of take care of in terms of either ponds or some sort of other remedy?
Yep, a major part of that will be in the Riverside Drive reconstruction. There will be some stormwater treatment put in with that, and that will give us some additional treatment that we need to meet the future requirements on the Fox River.
So I just, you know, ever since I became a trustee 9 years ago, it's really complicated to explain to people why, where their money is going. And not all of your money stops here. A lot of it goes on to the state, and the money, shared revenue that the state would usually give back to municipalities is shrinking every year. And so, but we still have these projects that we absolutely have to engage in. And so I just wanted to take this as an opportunity to let you know kind of the situation that your village is in. We have expenses, we have projects that we absolutely have to do, and the revenue streams just aren't as robust as they used to be, especially as with regard to money coming from the state to local municipalities. We did send out a resolution, or we're going to send out a resolution to the governor, letting him know that the ways that local municipalities are struggling in this sense. Okay, enough about that. I think, do we have a motion in a second? Mm-hmm. We do. Any further discussion? Any more grandstanding that has to be done beyond what I already did?
Sure, I'll give it a shot. The prairie grass and all that around it, I mean, this is a perfect example of having to deal with a problem, but coming up with a pretty creative solution that I think people that are on the trail and walking, hiking, biking, whatever, can kind of enjoy it going by. I know we can't put a path directly from the trail to it, but I think it'll attract some people to spend some time down there. So I think it's a great solution.
The ponds on the East River side are really quite nice, I mean, for walking by. As long as if people don't dump garbage. I mean, I've had to pick up garbage there. So. But other than that, I think they're fabulous places to see a lot of wildlife down there. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8, discussion regarding the visioning and strategic planning wrap-up. Administrator Lane.
And I don't know if anyone's here for that particularly. The visioning sessions that we recently completed, and it's not specific to Riverside Drive, it's specific to the village itself. It's a little bit different than what Riverside Drive is actually about, and I think those meetings are coming up again in February, Craig, is that correct? Another public meeting?
Yep.
Coming up in February.
That having been said, I'd be perfectly willing to entertain any sort of comments about,
exactly,
even about Riverside Drive, because it's part of what we're trying
it's
to talk about in terms of visioning. So we can talk about that tonight.
Okay. Just to give a short wrap-up, because we're still going to keep this open. We held back-to-back weekends, back-to-back Saturdays, and then we had the Tuesday night, January 13th, for the village board, where we ended up with right around maybe 20, 25 people only. And I say only because we certainly like to get a lot more input from the residents. With that being said...
Was that the total, Craig? I'm sorry.
That would have been about the total, correct. Well, with that being said, what we'd like to do is put this on our website and allow people a few more weeks to give comments that way. And then at the end, Michael Frona, who has graciously donated his time, can then compile the additional information and create a more complete vision and understanding of as far as what our public is looking at for today and tomorrow. So that's kind of where we're at. Michael's got it put together, pretty much ready to go. It's the questions that are very similar to what has been asked over the last several sessions, and just giving people an opportunity to fill it out online instead.
we should inform the public too that this is, you know, this is not the end of the entire process. I mean, what we're really trying to do with Mr. Frohna is to develop a vision, and after that vision should inform the discussions and the strategy that we're taking with regard to the corridor study. But also, we're going to need to develop strategies that fall out of that vision for issues completely unrelated to the corridor study or Riverside Drive or any of that. It's my opinion that that's going to mean a consultant, and we're not going to be able to rely on pro bono work for that level of detail and that amount of work in converting a vision into an actual strategic plan. We can try to do it on our own, but in my experience, it's always nice to have someone from the outside without any preconceived notions, without any vested interest, walk you through the process of converting a mission and a vision into actual strategies with metrics and you know, accountability.
And just to maybe answer or give a little more insight, the corridor study, as you alluded to, as both of Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue, the corridor study is looking at land uses, zoning, giving us a visual of what could be developed along those two corridors. Again, the vision and the mission, or excuse me, the vision and strategic planning, a lot of those questions are being asked for input, and we would like to share this with the consultant that's going to be working on those two corridors as well. So it all does tie together, and it's extremely important that we get as much feedback as we certainly can. The corridor study itself is getting underway, and there'll be some public information meetings, and hopefully we get a room full of residents that are excited about it and helping us lay the path forward.
So I just wanted to give folks a sense of one of the reasons that we did this in January is so that we'd have some sense of the vision going into the work that needs to be done for the corridor studies.
And again,
but it won't end there, and that we're going to be developing strategies for the rest of the village as well, everything from public works to parks to... Good.
So with that, your blessing, we'll be bringing this back at the February 17th for a wrap-up as far as what we've gathered from the public and the vision here in the public meetings that were held, as well as the online survey.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Brent? I was at both of the Saturdays and the board meeting, and I thought Mr. Frohna did a wonderful job. It wasn't a day long deep dive strategic planning session that I think maybe some folks expected, but that wasn't the purpose of it, to develop a strategic plan. It was to develop a mission. I thought you did a really good job of moving that along in the hour-long blocks that the public was engaged. For those of you who weren't there or weren't aware of it, on the 10th, I think it was the first Saturday, we had a one-hour session from 9 to 10 for folks who could make it with regard to the kind of village that they would like to see Alloway become in the next 10 to 20 years, and then repeated the same thing from 10 to 11 that day. Then we had that following Tuesday, we had a board session, but at the very beginning of the board session and at the very end of the board session, we welcomed the public that was there to give their input. And then on the 17th, and another Saturday, we did the same thing as we did with the 10th, from 9 to 10, and then again from 10 to 11. So have tried to welcome and accommodate the needs of folks in the public to engage in their village and give input into what it should look like. All right. Anything further? Yes, Trustee Harris.
A couple things on posting it on the website. I didn't know if we were considering using the email list that we have to notify, not just post it, but notify that it's out there to prompt responses. Are we going to request that people include their name and address and make sure that they're LA
yes.
residents? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
No questions. Yes.
Okay.
Possible to ask the question about that?
Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules. Please.
Forward.
Yes, please.
Hi, Roger Retzloff, member of the Plan Commission. My Plan Commission isn't really aware of the visioning exercise. And I guess my question, personal question, really, because I'm on the commission, is how will the vision and mission that you develop out of this relate to the comprehensive plan, the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan, which are codified for the village, so, and which are established by state law. So I'd just like some clarity on the relationship of that. Will this become an element of the comprehensive plan or a reference document for the comprehensive plan, or, you know, such that the next time we do an update, there will need to be a memo drafted and attached to the comprehensive plan so that it's included in that update?
Yeah. Yeah, the latter is true. I think this is going to have to merge with the comprehensive plan. I mean, we've had a comprehensive plan for years, and I'm not sure that many of us referred back to it frequently. And those who did, I referred back to it, but it did give me a lot of guidance. So when I'm making decisions about which direction to go on any number of issues, I didn't find the comprehensive plan to be specific enough to give me an idea of where we should go. So I see this whole visioning and strategic planning session as merging in with the comprehensive plan, and whether you want to call that throwing out the comprehensive plan and creating a strategic plan, or throwing out the strategic plan and calling it a comprehensive plan, right? We're going to have to merge the two together. Because you're right, it is codified. So. And when I said throwing out the comprehensive plan, I mean throwing it out, I meant changing the contents so that the contents look like the strategic plan. So, in essence, we're merging the two together. We're going to be changing the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, there's a legal process for that, and we're going to have to wait for the next update to the comprehensive plan unless the village board establishes, you know, by resolution that the plan should have an interim update to include this visioning session. But you'll have to develop a process of public hearings.
For changing the comprehensive plan, right?
Well, not just that, but to authorize the visioning statement. You'll have to. So the attorney would be able to guide you through that process, but, you know, if you want it to be an official document, I'm sure you're aware, you're going to have to go through the public process to make that happen.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anything further with regard to the visioning and strategic planning process? Monthly update on Neighborhood Watch. DEO Lopnow is not here.
I can fill in a little bit for him. I got a message from Rick just in the last half hour that he's unable to make it. He got called away to something he didn't go to. Business related as well, but what Rick's been working on is continuously getting the word out. Rick set up about a week or two ago when we had the canine unit and drug sniffer, bomb sniffing dog, and the bomb vehicle came to the village hall and did a demonstration. Again, we didn't get the participation that he certainly would hope for. Weather was not real conducive. It was very cold that evening. But it is being continuously put out in emails, his newsletter, and it will show up as part of the Alloy Neighbors magazine that will be mailed out in February. So Rick's continuously working on this, and as well as establishment of neighborhood associations.
Mr. O'Rourke sent us copies of the old district or boarding system, and DEO Lopnow has that information.
Correct.
Thank you. Trustee Gass?
Just before we get too far from the visioning part, I didn't know if anybody else from the public wanted to interject or speak.
Oh, yes, I did promise I was going to do my sincere apologies. We're going to have to suspend the rules and move back to the previous item unless there are objections. I'm sorry, ma'am. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak with regard to the visioning, whether it's regard to a specific element like Riverside Drive, if you have an opinion you want to share with us about how that should proceed or what you'd like to see there or what anything, actually, that you'd like to see the village incorporate into its new village or a new vision? Yes, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. The simple vision would be to connect the East River Trail with the Fox River Trail and make safe crossings across Riverside Drive for people who are elderly, such as those over 65. And
watch it, Mr. O'Rourke.
For people who don't walk or run real fast but still want to get across to the trail. Thank you.
You remember the old video game Frogger? It's kind of what I envision when I think of Riverside Drive the way it is now. So your point's well taken, Mr. O'Rourke. Anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to anything they'd like to see changed in the village or anything that you think we're doing well that you want to make sure that we keep doing into the future? Yes, sir.
Roger Retzloff, 209 West Whitney Street. With regards to the development of plans for Riverside Drive, I've been having a hard time getting information. The neither the contractor nor the DNR publishes notes on the stakeholder meetings, and there aren't images of the plans at their current state so that the public can reference them. I would think that, as just so that the residents, if they take an interest, can find out what the status of the plans are, there would be some sort of reference document at the village hall so that someone can come in and see what the state of the design is.
Mr. Bretzel, were you at either of the DOT sessions?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Do we have any renderings? Because I know they had drawings and they're deciding between the preferred alternative, or I can't remember what they call it. But they had some notes and slides and some renderings of possibilities. And then they had the huge map, so
it
I remember that.
On our website. When we receive that, we do post it. So
on our website?
On our website, it's on there. The big renderings are on there, but they're broken down page by page, so you scroll through the pages.
Is that linked to the front page?
They go on the front page, but then they also go under departments. You'll find them under Public Works.
I think it's under Public Works.
There's a Riverside Drive header in there where you can...
I wonder, given the importance of this issue, I wonder if we could have a link. Is there a link on the front page? Trustee Raptor is looking at that right now.
Not on the... Let me view past listings.
There's a link that we put on there, but it lasts so long, and then other things take its place. So when there's a meeting, we put it up there. But it goes to Public Works, and it's in there.
I wonder if there's a way we could kind of have that. Is there a way that we can kind of have that be a more permanent link? No. We just have to recycle it. And
I'm not sure. Maybe we'd have to repost it in order to move up the date. I can check on that.
Right. Maybe. So if you repost the date of the next meeting, then it would automatically bump it up to being on the front page as opposed to being in kind of an archive. Is that right, Ms. Bailey?
The ones under news on the front?
Yeah.
We would just have to actually put a new date on it, like we're just publishing today, because whatever date you publish it, everything published after that keeps moving up. We can't put it in order. We want this number 1, 2, or 3.
All right.
I'm just thinking that for older residents or people that have the facility to get this online, some paper copies that they could come to the village hall and see would be nice to have. Thank you.
Brad, can you work with Debbie to kind of see what the best we can do with regard to the website, making it as front and center as possible? And then, if we could make sure to have copies, even of the packets we were giving at the public hearings about the DOT, to make sure people know if they want a paper copy, they can come here and get the information. Thank you. Thank you. Anything else with regard to the vision for the future of Alloway? Hearing none, we will move on to, are we finished with item 9, the updates for the, any questions with regard to the neighborhood watch? No? We'll move on to item 10, the end of year credit enforcement report for 2014. Any questions from the board? Trustee Harris.
I don't know if you'll be going over this in detail of specific items and their movement from previous years. Those were the kind of questions I had. And then I'm assuming it's a typo, but I didn't know what storage of personality was.
Personality. It's an old English word that means junk.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I know, everybody says personality, but it's called personality. It's, I had to look it up when I got here. I thought it was a typo, too.
Maybe go with junk.
Basically, means the stuff is not used anymore. It's out there.
And like I said, I didn't know if you'll be going over some of them that are either trending up or trending down.
Whatever you guys would like me to talk about.
Mark,
over to you.
I read through this, and so what's going on? I was trying to follow all the numbers, and then even when I did, if there were fewer brush violations or whatever, what does that mean? Does that mean that people are catching on as to when they can and can't put brush out? Or
actually, on the brush one, I believe that's one.
I mean, I'm just using that as an example. Are people complying with the ordinances that we have in place more, would you say, or less, or what's?
I think some are going down. If you look at the grass, that is going down like 100, keeps going down every year, like 100 every year. This year, I think maybe the grass was a little bit less because we didn't really have a lot of summer.
Right.
But I think...
Anything going up?
Brush actually went up a little bit, but I think I hit it a little bit harder. But it's about the same. But most stuff actually... The only thing that's went down was parking citations, and I think that's just because there has been cadets coming out. They haven't come out, so that's the only thing that really went down.
There's the caper of the silly green sticker that Mr. O'Rourke could probably tell you about. Can you kind of fill us in as to what that is, what happened, and has it been resolved? There's people got green stickers put on their brush when the brush was out in the wrong day of the week or too early or something?
July 4th weekend?
Okay. Was that the only weekend that we were talking about with regard to the silly green stickers?
That was when my neighborhood got hit with the stickers.
Okay. And the problem was, Mr. O'Rourke, I'm sorry, board, I'm suspending the rules autocratically.
Again?
Ironically.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was in the neighborhood when the silly green sticker event hit. There was a storm that happened just before July 4th weekend. Everybody had some extra time to clear their yards. They took all the sticks and brush and moved it out to the front yard. The week started on a Monday instead of a Sunday, and people were everybody in my neighborhood was in violation of the ordinance for cleaning up their yards and bringing the storm debris out to the curb prior to the designated day, so it was out for a week longer than it should have been. When Mark was putting the stickers on the brush piles, one of my neighbors saw it and chased him down and accosted him and read him the Riot Act. And it was a very nice old lady, not old lady, but a very nice lady. Her husband also told me, gave me an earful on what happened there. So I took a look at the ordinances, and the ordinances on there's a difference between yard waste and brush and putting things out to the curb. I detected that it's illegal to put any of it out more than 6 hours prior to your garbage day. So just about everybody in the village is in violation because you're not allowed to put it out before 6 p.m. on the day before your garbage. So I had asked the village to give the Public Works director authority to make a policy that says you can do your yard work on the weekends and we're not going to give you the green stickers. So people do work when they have the time, and it doesn't make sense to make people put all their brush and their heavy storm debris on the side of the house and then wait until 6 p.m. on the night before their brush day. So what I had just simply asked was is that we don't need to change an ordinance with regards to the green stickers. It's consolidate all of the different ordinances we have, one with brush, one with yard waste, one with garden waste, now one with trash, and one with recycling, and give the Public Works Director authority to just make a policy and says, this is the policy, put it on one page, and let people see what exactly the policy is with regards to all the different type of debris that can be put out to the curb.
Okay.
And then finally, I don't think there's a legal definition for what at the curb means, so what I assume it to mean is that it is in the public right-of-way before your lot line stops. So in my neighborhood, that is about 10 feet, but I think that that would be one other thing is defining what at the curb means, and I think it's in the public right-of-way. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mark.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry.
as far as the definition,
we can work it out. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware, because I had heard this a couple of different times, just to make sure that you're aware and Craig is aware of. You know, there was some controversy about when people getting the green sticker in cases where they felt it wasn't warranted. I bet you, Mark, you can tell me of a case that happens every day of someone who gets a green sticker and has a reason why it's not warranted. But in some cases, I'm sure it is warranted, and in the other cases, it isn't. I think, as far as I can tell, the commitment that we've made to either enforce our ordinances, do it fairly, do it in a way that's not automatically punitive, or not writing someone a citation the moment that they accidentally put their garbage out at 2 p.m. the day before their garbage day instead of 6 p.m. As long as we're being fair, I think we're doing a pretty good job. There are always going to be bumps in the road, right? There are going to be exceptions. There are going to be cases where you catch one person. Catch is probably not the right word. You catch one person, and the person that lives one street over you don't catch, and then someone's complaining that, hey, you didn't get my neighbor, but you got me, and I'm treating them. I understand all of that. My impression, looking at the numbers, is that things are getting better, and that was the goal that we had in mind when it was like 4 or 5 years ago. Is that right, Trustee Gass, Trustee Dart?
Five or 6 years ago.
That we said, look, we either get rid of the ordinance or enforce it, but none of this sort of inconsistent, no one really knows what the rule is, and so... I think this is working, and I think with the recodification and then strategies like what Mr. O'Rourke is talking about, if we are going to have different rules depending on whether it's garden waste or brush, or and the board will have to decide that, we're going to have to make some decisions, that it would be presented in a way that's more easily digestible to the community than it is right now. So.
Thank you.
And that is something I'm going to work on this year, is because I've already talked to Mr. Byrne about it. We were in Jim Sigalski, we were the definitions, because they're so broad, brush, yard waste, rubbish, we need to kind of, I think, maybe streamline it a little bit easier. So that's something we're going to work on.
Okay, good.
As far as, like I said, the citations, I only wrote 3 citations this year for violations. Only had 2 until right at the end of December, got my 3rd one. And both of these are repeat offenders, residents. One's a landlord, one's a resident. So it's 1-3 I've had to write.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. And that, I remember, was our goal, too, that we didn't want to punish the entire village and be draconian to the entire village, because most of the problems are, 99% of the problems are from 5% of the population, right? They just keep, will not abide by what we need them to do.
Right. On the just additional reports, like I said, everything seems to be running pretty smooth here. Green stickers, I think it's always going to be a problem, but the board members, the reason we did this was, I was sending letters out, and then we'd go pick it up and charge the people. We put it in the letter, explain it to them. I never got the letter. He was getting calls, and when Tracy was here, she was getting a lot of calls, and no one received the letters. That's all we came up with, the green stickers. Said, stickers on there. Everybody sees that, so now you know that you're going to get a letter. So that was the reason we put the green stickers on there. It's not the prettiest thing, and I do get the calls. Why didn't so-and-so get it? A lot of people I actually go and talk to. So if they're out there, I see them, I'll stop and talk to them, say they won't get a green sticker, they'll still get the letter. Or a lot of people tear the stickers off. They come home early, the second guy comes home, why didn't they get a sticker? Well, they did, they just took it off. So, but
Mark,
it's not fairly.
Do we need the letters?
Yes.
Is that legally?
Legally, we need the letters. That's what goes to court. If I have to take them to court, that's what goes to court. That's what Bob and Dennis, our attorneys, use.
Is there a way to do we pay the 44 cents for a first class stamp to send them an actual letter in an envelope?
We do pay that.
Yeah. Is there any way we can do something cheaper, a postcard or something like that, that would be,
Or is
there a confident, pardon?
Well, we had postcards we would let the cadets do, but legally what the judge likes, is I send them the full definition of what the ordinance says. They get the whole ordinance. The card's not big enough to put the whole ordinance on there and explain to them what the situation is. And the card is, Tristan Dart had me change the letters to be a little bit more
friendly
to them. Yeah. Send the card, it's just, boom, again, it's going to be unfriendly, it's going to be cold, and it doesn't have enough space to put the whole ordinance on there. It depends on how many ordinances, violations, you have to 3 violations.
Yeah. Can we refer them to the website or tell them that if they want to see the actual ordinance, they can come down and look through our ordinance? I'm just trying to find ways of, constantly sending people letters with the full definition. Just doesn't seem to be. Most people know they did something wrong. You send them a letter. They probably don't even read the full ordinance. Yeah, you got me. I did something wrong. You have evidence of it. Boom. It might be just as efficacious to say, look, we're really sorry, but we have an ordinance against what you did. It involves this, this one sentence. Here's a link to the ordinance, or here's a link to our ordinance, especially after we've recodified. This should be much easier. Or if you'd like to see a hard copy, they're available at the Village Hall, and then you're done.
I'd have to check the lawyers about that.
Okay.
And the second thing, there's no way, I wouldn't have any way to keep track. When I do a letter, it's in the computer. That letter's in the computer. The cards we have, they're not in the computer. They're just cards that are automatically handwritten and sent out. That's the only things we have right now. Okay. There's nothing we have that's in the computer that wouldn't log it. So like now, I've got 6,000 copies of letters I've written over the years that if I have to go back 3 years for some legal reason, I have a copy. It's in the computer, and I have a hard copy.
Is there a reason we couldn't print postcards?
Well, we don't have a program for postcards. We got a program to print hard postcards, which Officer Flannery made. It's a program, but it's just you put a card in there and it prints out postcards, but it's not permanent. There's no record of it. It's just it would say that. It all says the same thing, grass violation. They all say the same thing. flip it over and write the address on there and send it out. But there's no way to keep a copy of it. It's just be...
Well, if you can keep a copy of a letter, you can keep a copy of a postcard. You can save it as a...
Just formatting.
No, if you don't type it out, it's a hard copy. I would sit there and get a copy that says the same thing. I would just write the person's address and send it out. It's not in the computer.
I know, but we can make a postcard in the computer. I mean, Microsoft Word has a...
Okay.
Open it. Say, when I make a new document, it says what kind of document, a letter, a memo, a postcard. Click postcard. So we can do the same thing. I'm just trying to find ways. How many letters do we send out a year?
1,700?
A couple thousand. Or close to a couple thousand.
1,700. Even if we did it off postcard, could we just take that postcard and scan it into the computer so it is saved? You do have the record of it if you would need to look back. Or I don't know what the goal is, if it's just to save a little bit of postage. Or, you know, every little bit helps, but I don't know if it... would work more.
Yeah, can you just explore the legalities of it? And I'm just trying to find ways to... I just don't... You know, people get enough junk mail, and I'm just convinced that someone gets it, they're not reading through the entire ordinance right, that most people aren't. And if they are interested enough and want to argue enough that they didn't break the ordinance, if we have a link to it, they'll be motivated to just follow the link or come down to the village hall and read the actual ordinance.
If they
break three ordinances, then you're talking about two or three page letter you have to send to them with all the ordinances.
No, it's one page or it might be two pages, but generally I'll break that down slower, lower, and then explain to them they can go to finish reading the rest of it. They can go to the link and read it.
Okay.
But again, if I did postcards, I'd have to send out like three postcards. So then you're going to go three postages. The way the postcards are, ones we have right now.
Yeah, see, I'm not talking about using a standard postcard that's already printed and you just put their address on it and send it to them. I'm talking about making a postcard the same way you're making letters right now, right? You're sending out individualized letters to people with individual ordinances in it that they violated. You'd do the same thing, but it would simply be a postcard. Instead of listing the entire ordinance, it would just list a link so that you could fit it on a postcard. You print that out and send them a postcard instead of sending them a letter.
I'd have to see if we have that or anything like that.
I'm not even sure how much money it would save, but it just strikes me that I don't know.
Probably like 15 cents times 1,746.
So you'd save 160 bucks.
Well, that might have about. Then you can check with council, but I don't think you have to put the ordinance in there. It's a little something they taught me in law school, which is everybody's presumed to know the law. You don't have to tell them what it is, because otherwise everybody would have to read every single statute that exists. You're just assuming that you know what the law is. Otherwise the defense would always be, I didn't know.
Could you just explore that a bit and see how... I know from a technology side, it's not a huge deal. They get the computer to print out postcards instead of letters. But just from a legal and, you know, whether or not we give people enough information on the postcard that they could find the ordinance if they wanted to, that seems to be the issue. Trustee, yeah.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. The sense I get is that our ultimate goal of compliance, I mean, we don't want to be, as the President alluded to, we don't want to be draconian. It's always been we want people to comply with the ordinance, and the sense I get is when we send the letters out, for the most part, the vast majority of the people pay attention and they do what they're supposed to do. They're active.
Correct.
I mean, you're always going to get the ones that are going to stick their middle finger up at you no matter what it is. But most people get it in the mail and they go, oops, I didn't know about that. And now I know about it, and then they don't do it again.
Correct. Because I'll get a lot of calls from people and they'll apologize. You know, it's the first time they ever go, oh, do they?
Right.
We only have 5,000 households in Alloway, and we've issued 1,700 letters.
If you look at also one of the sheets I gave you was the renters, a lot of renters, and we get a lot of move out come in to the same thing. Which when I do, as soon as you repeat it, landlords are the ones I get citations to, because we have a couple that use my word slumlords that. No matter how many times, like one of them, I'm giving them 20 letters I just gave up. I just gave him a ticket from now on. He was the last one to get a ticket in December because he knows. I talked to him. I said, you need to put it in your lease that the renters know that they have to obey our ordinances. You need to put that in the lease. I said, that will take it off of you. I said, otherwise, you're getting a ticket for what they do because you don't live here. They do. So
I don't think you need to wait 20 times to
tell him. No, he's already considered a nuisance. That's a long time ago. Anything he does, he automatically gets a citation. And there's a few like that. There's a few repeat. For some reason, they just, I don't know why they don't get it, but they don't get it. But most of the people are like Trustee Gass said, that they get one letter. That's it. I don't see them again. But a lot of them, like I said, the repeat might not be the same thing. Like one person, like they might have a garbage can out, and I just let them know, hey, you can't have a garbage can out. Next day, put the brush out. Then they put the bulk out. They do fences, but it's not the same thing over and over and over and over. It's different fences that they just... and generally, obviously, elderly.
And I agree with Mr. O'Rourke. Part of this is our fault, you know, that most people, 99% of people, want to abide by the law, and even if there aren't serious repercussions for breaking it, they just want to follow the rules. And the problem is they don't know the rules. And so, you know, you cite them for the brush thing, and they're, oh, I'm sorry, and then the next time they're putting some, you know, bulk waste out, they had no idea what the rules were for that. So once we recodify it, if we can be as clear as possible, I think that will help with a lot of these things.
Because I have a problem with Oakwood since.
Did you want to say something about Oakwood before?
I said I haven't had a problem with them since.
Oh, okay. I had a person call me, and I don't remember, this was a while ago, but it just struck me when we were having this conversation. And she was concerned about her neighbor, and I'm not sure if she was renting from her or what. But she had gotten a ticket and a fine, and I think she was parking on the street, and she must have got a ticket, but she didn't know you couldn't park on the street. So one of the things I was thinking, and I stopped by and saw Brad and got an All About Alloway book to bring over to her. But when people move in like that, is there some way that they can be told some of those basic rules?
Have you brought that up? Brad and I have been working on we've got a welcome letter we worked on, got it set up. We're working on getting magnets or something.
Green sticker?
Green sticker,
Mr. Yuck.
You know, a magnet with some numbers, their telephone numbers on there or something, and just a little something to give newcomers when they come in to let them know, and the magazine and everything explained to them. Then I figured we'd work it out, either cadets or myself or something, go in and we'd bring it to them. We'd mail, we'd stop by, say, hey, water department, let us know we've got a new person coming in. Go over there with the little welcome letter. Magazine said, how you doing? And they would have the information in there. I figured that might help a lot. To get the word out to people and explain it to them.
Do we have a way of knowing when the green sticker is coming out, whether the person has just moved in or not?
No, because I don't know who lives. You know,
I don't know who lives there.
I think
that would be the worst. I mean, that would be the worst way to welcome someone is
green
sticker, welcome to Alloway.
It has happened.
Yeah. And do we usually wait, you know, what do we do?
If they call me up, they'll ask what it is, and they just moved in. I said, don't worry about it. I'll explain to them what's going on.
Okay.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, for the new people that come into town, it's easy enough to figure out who they are through the real estate transaction reports, you know, who bought a house in Alloway.
Or renters.
And I think that, you know, we could even expand upon that. I mean, once you and Brad work a little further, maybe we could maybe go to the business association and get some coupons or something, or Schrader's might kick in some flowers, or, I mean, something to, you know, introduce them to the Alloway businesses. I think that's a brilliant idea, you know, and also let them know what our rules are. Yeah.
I think that would help.
Coupon to Zesty's and don't put your garbage up until Thursday. Trustee Harris.
Did you call him POTUS? I thought you said POTUS.
Trustee Harris. I think I said.
I'm wondering, you said earlier, I think there's a few items on here that might need a more clear definition. Because I looked at, like, brush, nuisance, yard waste. Those three seemed to do a bounce of, they were higher lower in 2013, back up in 2014. I don't know if there's a specific reason behind a couple of those brush nuisance yard waste. Are those ones where we could help you with a better definition, or are there ones where you can identify where you need a better definition?
I've looked at that. I'm going to have to look back over it because I went over it, and it's one of those that I had to read and read and read. I mean, it's between rush, litter, bulk. They're a little convoluted, and I want to work at breaking them down. And actually, one of the residents called us. It was something on the yard waste. Somehow the definition, he was correct. It was something about the wood. He had wood laying out, and he said, well, it says wood. And if you go through and actually look at the definitions the way it is, he was correct. Brush is considered wood. It says you pick up wood. It's just the way it was written. And that's why I said we need to look over it and try to streamline a little bit, maybe break it apart. Mm-hmm. People get confused between brush and yard waste. And they think yard waste is brush.
Can you explain it to us right now? Right. I'm confused.
It is. And I understand. And I get that from people that are like, that's their biggest complaint they do when they call me. They say, well, I don't understand. It says this. And I agree with them. They don't understand.
So if you pull out your tomatoes and you're raking your leaves, are those separate issues and they go in separate piles?
No, they would pick those up. That's considered yard waste. That's what it is. But a lot of people put yard waste in brush and they think it's all yard waste.
So are leaves yard waste?
Yard waste is soft material, whereas brush is hard material. That's where they got us on that.
But are leaves separate than yard waste?
No, leaves set up yard waste.
I'm thinking leaves. You put your leaves out, or then you pull out your tomatoes. And this is serious. I really don't know.
Those are both considered yard waste.
They're the same thing. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to put them in the same pile or not.
And grass is a no-no, no matter
what. I don't do grass at all.
Unless you mix it into the leader as well.
Trustee Rafter, you have something?
I have a couple of quick questions. One is, so we had 1,742 violations, and we only issued 3 citations?
Correct.
So the revenue... Well,
some of those violations that you look at, it also counts parking tickets, so you'd have 171 of those were parking citations, so about 15.
Do we know what kind of revenue was produced from these? Not that we're doing it for revenue purposes.
I don't know off the top of my head. Each violation was it's a different cost. Each one was probably around $300
for parking citation.
No, parking tickets are $20. Okay. But the citations, which those are for violations. We got parking citations, and then we got the citations for ordinance violations. And that was the only 3 I wrote. And that was for both of them were parking in the yard. And I can't remember what the third one was for.
Okay. Is there a way to get a report that shows the revenue that was produced from parking citations and the...
Apart from the clerk of court.
It's a line item in the budget. So all you have to do is look at the numbers.
The actuals?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In terms of the cadets, Mark, we have 10 cadets, I think you said.
What's that?
How many cadets do we have currently?
Right now I've got 10. Yeah, 10, and I've got applications for 2 more that I want to interview. So.
How often do we engage them, and what do they do for us?
This group isn't as good as some of them had in the past. Being a volunteer program, I can't force them to come out any time. It's what they do is they get, the more hours they work, as soon as they get up to 75 hours of volunteer time, they get college credit. So it behooves them to come out as much as they can. Ride-alongs, they'll come out and do that. That's an 8-hour shift, but they come do a ride-along with the Sheriff's Department. But normally I ask them to do 2 hours a week. They don't have to, and a lot of them don't. And I try to get them to come out at night and write the citations, which they did at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the parking season. They came out a couple nights, and that's where you got the vast majority of those parking citations. In this group, a lot of them have graduated already, so they don't come out as often as they normally do. I've got like 4 that come out pretty regularly. The other 6, since they graduated, don't come out as often.
So they don't commit to a certain number of hours, at least even in theory?
Normally they try to do 2 hours a week, but a lot of them have, like I said, this group right here hasn't been doing it as often as the ones I've had in the past. Just depends on what group of cadets when I hire them, which one. You know. Like an employee, sometimes you get some good ones, sometimes you get some that are really motivated.
Do we fire them?
I have fired two. I just basically just released them, don't turn their hours in.
What's the pool of applicants? Where do we get cadets?
They're NWTC students. They're going through the police academy.
Okay.
And Officer Flannery, Mr. Flannery now, he started the program. And when he left, I started back up. So I worked with him, and he generally I talk with him who he thinks is a good cadets, you know, wants to go through his class, and he tries to push as many people, you know, cadets towards us as he can get, volunteers. Because it behooves them to do it. I mean, it's basically just free college hours for them, you know, for their class.
Okay. I think it's the last, it's more of a comment. I know that Jenny's working on a regular newsletter, right? It's a quarterly newsletter? Monthly. That newsletter, I think a lot of the issues around violations of our code, around brush and everything, it's very seasonal. People tend to forget maybe from season to season what's going on. And in our newsletter, it's a perfect opportunity to let them know, this is May, we're going to start doing this, this is what brush is, this is when you can put stuff out to the curb. I would think if people get that on a timely basis, we shouldn't have as many issues as we do, especially for those people who don't want to break the rules.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was something I never talked to Jenny about, putting a little, you know, thing there. This is the code of the week here.
Thanks.
Also, looking at the bottom, the 51 invoices were sent out. That was for brush, grass, bulk, people that violated those violations. Out of those 51, 8 for grass, it's 51 for the other ones for brush and bulk. They, we had to go pick them up. Out of those 51, I think maybe 15 of those we didn't charge for one reason or another. They called. They had a legitimate reason why the brush was out or the bulk was out. I mean, a real legitimate reason. A lot of them are, we'll get it like the elderly, children will come up from Milwaukee or out of town, cut the brush, throw it out by the road, and leave. You know, and again, you know, we're not charging a person for that because, you know, kids come up, they don't know. Things like that. So about 15 of those, we would charge them.
And, you know, and this is all recorded. They were written,
correct,
invoice, but there was a reason that it was basically nullified. That's all stored.
Right, and not right.
Because it's not an excuse if your kids come up every other weekend and they do the same thing and they keep, right.
No, I would know that.
All right, just wanted to make sure. Did the others pay? You know, we collected?
Yeah, the others have collected. So as far as I know some of them, because I thought the carriage just a lot come in and paid.
How much do we charge?
$200.
How many of those were lawn?
Oh, the lawns were different. That's eight of those. Only did 8 invoices for mail for grass. And that would vary. I wouldn't know what that would be. That would be, it depends on how big a yard it is or how big a lot, how long they had to cut it, because they go by a first hour.
I remember we changed that because,
right,
because the way that our fees were structured, it was more economical to have the village cut your lawn than it was to have the neighborhood kid do it.
Yeah, I think we raised up to like $150.
We were doing it on the cheap, and people weren't very motivated to cut their own lawn.
Well, no, we had a sliding scale, too. First time we have to go cut it, it was one rate. We got to come back again, you're paying a lot
right
more.
Now, over there.
Yeah, it's double, and it's triple, and it's triple, and it's quadruple, and a ticket. Which,
but yeah, it's $200 for brush?
So you only wrote 8 of those.
For grass this year.
Because I remember one year we were right going.
Yeah.
we had a huge problem. Again, a handful of people, but they kept doing it.
Yeah, because that was that first
year. So 8 in the entire year is a vast improvement, right?
Yeah, it was almost 300 first year I worked. And
how many?
It was almost 300 the first 2011
issue.
It was like 80.
It's exactly what we want, right?
Right.
Could I ask just one more?
I'm sorry, Jim. Do I keep interrupting?
No. Yes, but that's okay.
Are you sure?
Now I forgot. It was a dumb question. The $200 for brush pickup?
Right.
That's if we pick it all up, huh?
What transpires before that? You give them the silly green sticker and a letter, right? And then...
See my work's going to collect royalties on that copyright.
And then what happens? How long does it take before we charge them $200?
The letter gives them 48 hours to remove the brush. If it's not brushed, if it's not removed by then, legally we can pick it up. But the way it's set up right now, if I write a letter on Wednesday, tomorrow, if I write a letter, it'll say 48 hours. I send on Friday my monthly report, I send that to Jim, the street department. Jim takes that same report, he looks down that. So Monday, he will go check it. So they actually get 5 days. It says 48 hours, but we actually give them 5 days to remove the brush or remove the bulk or whatever we're going after. Jim will go there on Monday. He will check to see if it's there. If it's there, then he sends his guys over to pick it up.
So our street foreman goes and does that?
He checks it for me. I'm not here, so he comes in on Monday. He goes by and checks it to see if it's been taken care of. And if it's not, then he marks it on there, and then his guys will pick it up. If it's out, he marks it, and then he puts the sheet in my box, and then I keep a copy of that.
Okay. I'm done. Thanks.
What's the rule for repeat offenders? You don't keep giving them 48 hours/5 days, right?
It's the same. It's the same, yeah. That's what's in the ordinance. But what it is, if they do it 3 times within a year, then we start sending them tickets.
And they don't get the 48 hours anymore if they do it 3 times in a year.
Right, they do it 3 times in a year.
That's just a policy, though. That's not a part of the...
No, it's just a policy. It's just a policy.
It's a policy. Good. I just want to make sure that people are motivated not to just take their 5-day grace period every time.
After their third offense, the same offense, I send them their third letter that this is your third offense, you're not considered nuisance property, we'll just see your citation.
Mark, how's the software working out?
It didn't. We got rid of it.
Why?
It got convoluted. It wasn't working. They sold me. Yeah. And I even went, when I was at the Code Enforcement Association, they were down there, I had a talk with them about it. The program was, it was adding more work for me to do than what I was doing. It was almost a database. They were having me go in there. I spent 6 months talking with their guy out in California. They didn't have anybody here to work with. I had to call a guy out in California and work with him. So there's a big time change there. They were trying to get, I had to do all the work, send him every one of them copies of all my forms and everything that he wanted to put in the computer. Their letters weren't able to be personalized like we wanted them, where they were more personal. They were just flat out, you will do this, letters. And there was no way I could make them personalized. I was having to put every person in my database. I had to physically take everybody out and start putting them into theirs.
If you remember me talking about this? The bin management software is like a lot of software. I'm sorry if there's anyone who's a software salesperson here. You get sold, they oversell and they underdeliver. And I was really concerned about this. And they came in and they demoed in here. I wasn't here for the demo, but I got reports on how the demo is just so slick. It's going to make everything so easy. Reporting is going to be like this. And I said, I will believe it when I see it. And they didn't deliver. So basically stop using it?
We didn't redo it because I was there 6 months working, trying to get it together, training. And then I used it for about 3 months, and it wasn't working. It was bad.
Can you make sure that I get the contact person, the highest person that you know in the organization, the name of the organization, and the problems you have with the software, so I can write them in either an email or a letter or call them up.
The salesman was at the conference I was at, yeah, so I had a talk with him.
The salesmen have all the answers.
But they're salesmen.
But they're salespeople.
As Mark's walking in front of them with a Sanders board going, this sucks, don't buy it.
I did a couple people. We were talking to them. I said, don't do it.
How much did we spend on that?
$1,700.
And then wasn't there a monthly...
That was the whole
help.
No, that was a year. It was just
it was something there for the whole year.
Well, if we used them, if we had to call them after so many calls, and they were charging, but we never got to that.
Okay.
The only thing that's hit there is we have two crossing guards retire, one resign. We have 11 full guards and 10 substitutes. Purchased a couple more of those signs to put out. Those are up at the if you see it up there on Hoffman and Libel right now. And so there should be enough signs. And during winter, we're putting them up on Webster. And during summer, we'll put them back out in front of the schools. So there you go, crossing signs. We made some changes with animal control. Monica's here. She's our animal control person. I'm going to let her explain her report, what she's done this year.
I would just a quick question, because I had called you, I think, and I guess I should have called Craig about snow removal. If somebody doesn't clear their sidewalk, that's a public works issue, not a...
I can. I talked to Jim. He asked me, since I'm out all the time, if I would start looking at it. I wasn't involved with the snow.
Is that a big problem? And the reason I ask, the municipality to our south just got some riled up number of their residents by giving citations without any warning. And I happen to see the pictures of the alleged infraction, and snow was this deep. It wasn't, you know. So they were asking me, well, what does Alloway do? And I said, I'm not really sure.
In that scenario where it's just a little bit of snow, we would not issue a notice. But if it was ice, we would.
Okay.
If it was a lot of snow, we would, but not a little bit of snow, because that's practical common sense. You can walk that. As long as it's safe to walk, we're okay. It's done by the fellows that plow. They're the ones that go check the sidewalk or gym. It depends on availability. When you're looking at sidewalks, it's the weather, it's the timing. And one of the things we run into is if we go out and send notices, we've got to be there at 48 hours to check it. You can't really leave it go over a weekend. So we kind of time, if we're going to issue any notices, we're going to make sure that we can follow up at the proper time and proceed with it. So we have to look at all of those things. We really only get a couple times in the course of the winter where we really do put notices out to residents where it's needed. This last week we did some businesses, but we did them by calling them on phone and they took care of it. And then we probably won't have a problem with them anymore. You know,
I didn't think it was a big problem. Never heard it was a big problem. So.
No, it's not a big problem.
And the one incident was a business. I think they did take care of that.
Oh, one more thing I'd like to add to Rick's on the neighborhood watch program. I was looking at the map he did, and what he has is he's did most of the cul-de-sacs of handing out flyers. What he's going to do is make some more flyers for me, and I'm going to have the cadets go out. He's going to put a map in the office back here, so the cadets will be going out and helping him with that to get the neighborhood watch flyers out. So.
Good idea.
Thank you, Mark. Any other? Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Okay.
So just a couple of quick changes. If you remember back in 2013, Troy Erickson and I were hired as humane officers. Since then, Troy got a full-time job and decided he didn't have time to function as a humane officer. So what was happening was I was back being by myself again to respond to all the calls, and then if I wasn't available, the sheriff's department ended up, you know, having to pick up animals and leave our community to take them to the Humane Society, which takes them out of our jurisdiction. So what I decided to do, and I have this is the same issue that all the communities have. You have one person, but you don't know when the calls are going to be, And it's the same problem that fire departments have. That's why you have to have a number of people to be able to respond 24/7. So I use the volunteer fire department as a model, and I started what I call the citizen animal response team. And right now I have three members. They're paid on call people, kind of like the fire departments, volunteer fire departments. I have three people, two on the east side, one on the west side. And in the beginning, they worked for all the communities that wanted to use them, just as I did. But that became cumbersome because every time I got a new person on the CART team, they had to fill out employment packages for every community that wanted to use them. So how we fixed that was the Village of Howard decided to take the lead and actually do the employment of those individuals handle the benefits and all that good stuff. And then keep track of the calls they go on, and then invoice the different communities. And so we've started using them in November. And so as you can see, in 2013, Troy took like 35 calls, and I only took four. And then in 2014, before the CART team came on board in November, I was up to 44, and they took nine. So in 2015, I'm hoping that'll shift over, because what I'm trying to do is use, for the Village of Alloway and Village of Bellevue, the CART team people that are on the east side, and then for Howard Suamico, hopefully use the CART team people on the west side. And then I'm a state certified humane officer, so any kind of bite incident where I suspect there's a dangerous dog situation or any kind of cruelty investigation, that those types of things I will still respond to and investigate. But if you look down, licensing kind of stayed the same. Dropped a little bit. The dogs might have dropped a little bit on the female side. Humane Society, you see our stray dogs and cats stayed the same. Really good number. No dogs had to be euthanized from none of our stray dogs in the last 2 years. And you see 95%, 96% in 2014, most of our dogs get claimed by their owners. And then they're billed a pickup fee. So that reimburses us right there, the cost of that. Cats, unfortunately, don't get claimed as often, but you see the Humane Society does a really, really good job adopting those animals out. Feral cats, I'm working with the Humane Society and Cats Anonymous, so that feral cats, rather than haul them in and us pay, you know, the village pay a stray hold fee, we sterilize those cats, vaccinate them, and just leave them in place. If the kittens are young enough, I snatch those up, we trap those up. And the Humane Society, they actually did 15 feral kittens this year for us, for just free of charge, because they have to go to foster care until they're old enough to be sterilized, you know, have their surgery and their shots, and then go to their new homes. So you can see a variety of wildlife. I try to do a lot of education with wildlife. We get the East River, we got the Fox River, you know, there's wooded areas. I'm trying to get people to understand that, you know, you really got to learn to coexist with urban wildlife. It's just the way it is. I think I assisted one person that had a skunk in the trap, and we just managed to let it go without anybody getting sprayed. That's a success story right there. But other than that, you know, you can spend a lot of time trying to trap wildlife, and pretty much the general policy I use is if it's not a safety hazard, I tell them, you know, I'm not going to come out and spend time trapping an animal that's not a safety hazard. And I give them ways to kind of diversion, to keep that animal away, things they can do to keep them out of their garden, whatever. But I really try to do a lot of education there, because when people call me to trap an animal and I stop by and I see they got 10 bird feeders there and they want me to set a trap because they got a raccoon coming every night, that's just a waste of taxpayers' money. We have tons of raccoons in the village and Great Bay as well. So that's kind of an education when it comes to wildlife. I'd still respond, I definitely respond to any injured wildlife, and as you can see, all these wildlife here, owls, hawks, a lot of these are, people want someone to come and help an animal that's suffering, and so we definitely, definitely do that. And there's also the Wildlife Sanctuary, who has a really great rehab program. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that, where they rehab the animals, and then when they're healthy enough to be released into the wild, they do that. So we participate with that. They take those animals for us. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay. 0% euthanized dogs.
For dogs, yeah. And for kitties.
Nice to see.
Kitties was 9%, and that basically that was three cats, and I think those that might have been either a really really sick kitten or an injured cat. That was, and one was a really sick kitten that was just totally, you know, and might have been some injured, a couple of cats that were really badly injured. So
thanks for all your help. Appreciate the work
you
did.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I forgot to tell you about when she said you took the kitten out of a tree.
Oh, that's right. That was our big
rescue. Oh, yeah? And we didn't have to call the fire department?
Well, parks department.
Parks department of the works.
The boom truck.
The boom truck?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They held
their
sheet out.
Held the sheet out.
Because
the kitten kept going higher and higher until the branch was broken. Luckily, we had the sheet out to catch it.
Huh. Couldn't grin it out of the tree. Yeah. Daniel Boone or somebody.
You work with kids too?
Pardon?
You work with kids too?
No,
sometimes
sorry.
My kids could step up in the tree. Brad, Administrator Lang, I had mentioned, I think last meeting, about my concern about an emergency response plan, and I hadn't really gotten any training since I became president 8 years ago, and it just happened that Brad was also working on the same issue. So,
I just want to give you an update on it. There's the hazardous mitigation plan that was adopted by the board. It's a little bit different, and then there's the emergency response plan for all disasters that Brown County oversees. But we don't have anything specific to our village, which would talks about the protocol, who's doing what. So those are some of the trainings that we need to really look at doing, both as a board, because you would be most likely, well, you would want to know the information in the event we do have a disaster of some sort or an emergency, but as staff itself, we haven't had the training either.
Yeah, we need to do
so
that.
I'm working with both Chief Knapp, Assistant Chief Knapp, and Emergency Management, and we'll be putting some stuff together with some training coming up in the near future.
Good. I do remember that I can deputize people in times of emergency, and you don't want that, Brad.
25 Barney Fifes.
Got my bullet.
If you look, think back to the Help Dock fire, that was a perfect example of, you know, how things can work, because you did have the situation was set up, but it was a fire emergency, so that you had trained professionals there that took command, and Craig was on site with them, and they were probably in constant phone calls. And I was too, as I was out of town, but those are the scenarios that we want to make sure we're well prepared for.
Right.
Through the water department has one, and they have to have one. And there's actual protocol in there for how to answer the media questions. I mean, all that stuff. So
right.
We want to get to that point.
There's a Dr. Lucy Arndt is a professor out at UW-Green Bay, lives in Alloway on Sunrise, and is a national and international expert in this area. And I talked to her, and she said she would be happy to help, but that we should start with, you know, our local folks, like what we have with Chief Neff. But we do have some resources within the village. As usual, we have such talent in this village, and she, you know, she specializes in disaster management, not only during the disaster, but then in the aftermath of a disaster. We're not at huge risk for things like, you know, tsunamis that are going to wipe out the entire village, but we still need to have a plan of how we're going to deal with a disaster, and then what we're going to do immediately after it's over to start on our way to recovery. And you know, given the village that we are, and how we've talked about for years, how we're largely residential, no industrial, very little commercial, that a disaster could really put us in a spot where we're in a really precarious position, and it would be hard to rebound from. So we need to plan as carefully as possible. So thanks for taking the lead on that, Brad. Mm-hmm. Trustee Dark, did you have something?
I was just going to mention that I recall like about 6 years ago, that Fox Valley Tech was running something on a program on that where you could, village trustees could go for free, and it was like a 3-day thing. So I haven't seen anything lately on that, but it might be a resource.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session? Those of you who are here from the public, I can't imagine this is going to take more than 5 minutes, and I expect that we're going to have a decision and an answer when we come out. And so if you want to wait around, we'll have something, I think we'll have something to say in item, I think Jim is out here too, in item 13. Specifically, the broker listing for the former Village Hall site property at 1649 South Webster Avenue. Is there a motion to convene into closed session? Trustee Genrich, is there a second? Trustee Dennis, roll please. Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Genrich?
Aye.
Trustee Rafter?
Aye.
Trustee Vandenhoven is an aye. Trustee Garth?
Aye.
Trustee Gass?
Aye.
Trustee Dennis?
Aye.
We're in closed session. If you just want to step out and